be good to open your Bibles to John chapter 6. And it'd be also good to keep your that outline sheet before you, just let you know where we're going. And during World War II, the Germans forced many 12 and 13-year-old boys into the junior Gestapo. These boys were treated very harshly and were given inhumane jobs to perform. When the war was over, most of these boys had lost track with their families and they wandered about without food or shelter. And as a part of the aid program for post-war Germany, many of these youths were placed in tent cities. Their doctors worked with these boys in an attempt to restore their physical and mental health. They found that many of the boys would wake up in the middle of the night screaming in fear. One doctor had an idea for handling that fear. After feeding the boys a large meal, he put them to bed with a loaf of bread in their hands, which they were told to save until the morning. And the boys slept soundly because after a number of years of hunger, they finally had the assurance of food for the next day. Perhaps there's more to bread than meets the eye. For those boys, bread wasn't just food for their hungry bodies. It was also peace for their troubled souls. In the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, there are contained therein several very, very important statements made by Jesus Christ. He continually emphasized that he was the bread of life, sent down from heaven, and he compared himself to the manna which sustained Israel in the wilderness. And the inference derived from Christ's statement is obvious. Without the heaven-sent manna, Israel would have starved to death. Similarly, without Jesus, the living bread from heaven, sinners like us would perish. There are four things about bread that I'd like you to see tonight, and they all come out of the text here in John chapter 6. First of all, I want you to notice that bread is universal. It is for everyone. It's probably true that probably a lot of us in this room have not ever had caviar. There are certain expensive foods that are beyond the reach of the average person and can only be obtained by the rich or in rich and prosperous countries. And yet bread is accessible to everyone in all nations. Poor people need it, and even the wealthy require it for the nourishment that it provides. Other foods might tantalize the taste buds, but everyone, every day, needs bread. And when all other food is unavailable, bread is the staff of life. Bread will sustain life. Now, I'm sure that Jesus had these thoughts in mind when he announced to the world in John chapter 6, "I am the bread of life that giveth life to the world." He gives life. He sustains life. And that life, given and sustained, is accessible, available to everyone, to the whole world, regardless of status, regardless of condition. You might remember one of the parables that Jesus told about the prodigal son, who demanded that his father give him his inheritance and then took the inheritance and went off into a far country, wasted all the money on wine and women and song. And two things happened. Number one, his money ran out. Number two, the land was ravaged by famine. Desperate for survival, he took a job feeding pigs and was so hungry that he actually had to eat the pig food. But then he came to his senses as this thought, this truth penetrated his mind. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He thought to himself, they are just servants. And he thought about how many servants his father had. Thought about their great number. He was going over them in his mind. He thought about the ones that tended the cattle, the ones that looked after the sheep, the ones that minded the camels, the ones who were reaping the corn, the ones who waited upon his father in the house. And he went over all of these in his mind. His father was great in the land. He had many servants, and yet all of them, though they were lowly servants, had bread enough and to spare. And he thought, and I perish with hunger. My father has scores of them, maybe hundreds, and every day he gives them enough bread and then some more. And this is a parable that Jesus told. And of course, a parable is an earthly story which has a heavenly meaning. And the meaning is this concerning Jesus, the bread of life. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you are a high-flying executive on one end of the social scale or just a menial process worker on the other end of the social scale. It doesn't matter if you're the prime minister or the garbage man. The Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, the bread from heaven is for you, regardless of your status. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're bond or free, the same Lord Jesus Christ is rich unto all that call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, regardless of your status. You might be King Agrippa, or a runaway slave like Onesimus. Regardless of your status, Jesus Christ is bread. He has bread enough and to spare for you. Regardless of your condition. Here in John chapter 6, the chapter begins with Jesus performing a miracle. He feeds 5,000 men, besides women and children, with 5 loaves. And 2 fishes. And he feeds the multitude. He feeds them all. And at the end, after everyone had eaten their fill, they took up that which was left over. And there were 12 baskets full of food left over. And that's what we mean by Jesus has bread enough and to spare. But then in John chapter 6, there's this interesting discussion where Jesus talked about the children of Israel in the wilderness, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and how God miraculously sustained them and provided for them every day manna from heaven, bread from heaven. It was marvelous. They ate angels' food, it says in another portion of Scripture. They found it very good for them. It was wonderful in the way it sustained them. It was ideal for them traveling through the great and terrible wilderness and the harshness of the conditions. Whether they were young or old, whether they were weak or strong, all found that manna precisely what they needed to strengthen them for their journey. Regardless of their condition, that bread that was provided for them was just exactly what they needed. You know, there's a lot of different theories about what we ought to eat and what specific foods are good for certain or particular conditions. Some experts tell us that if you suffer from arthritis, then you should eat a lot of meat. Other experts, just as eminent, just as learned, say, no, you shouldn't eat meat, you should eat vegetables. I used to have a recording at home. It was on a cassette tape. Some of you would remember them. It was by a very learned doctor. And he told us on that tape that if you eat a certain diet, and he told us what it was, you could live for 120 years. But then the things that he said were contrary to other eminent doctors, said, no, don't do that, you've got to do something different. Now, obviously, these doctors know a lot, but I think it needs to be admitted that with all the knowledge that we do have about food and health and diet and disease, we can be absolutely certain about very little. But there is one thing that we do know for absolute sure and certain, we can absolutely be assured of, and that is this, that the manna that God gave the Israelites in the wilderness was the very, very best sort of food. It was God's own invention, specifically designed to meet exact needs. God created man, knows What is best for man as far as vitamins and minerals and nutrients are concerned, everything that man needs. God knows man. He knows what man needs. And he provided for them the very, very best kind of food that they would need to be active and healthy and able to endure the wilderness hardship. And Jesus said, I am the manna sent down from heaven. Exactly what we need. Exactly what we need is the Lord Jesus Christ. Exactly what our souls need is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the true bread which came down from heaven. He is God's own gift to us. God who made man, God knows exactly what we need, and he has provided precisely what we need in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unlike some physical food, where one man's meat is another man's poison, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, is just that. He is life and health and strength for our souls, regardless of our condition. Now, I'm not sure what kind of ailments you have in your soul tonight. I don't know what kind of hardships you are called to endure. I'm sure I don't fully comprehend the weariness that is upon you as you endure day after day, when perhaps where there seems no end in sight. And you alone know the guilt of the sins that you feel, the sins which you've committed, other people know about, the sins that you have committed, other people don't know about. You alone know the guilt of sin which is upon you. But regardless of your condition, regardless of your status, Jesus Christ is exactly what you need. He is for everybody. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Bread is universal. It's for everybody, as is the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing I want you to consider is that bread is uncomplicated. It is our basic necessity. If you do the shopping at Centro Bankstown, I'm sure you would have smelt the bread cooking in Baker's Delight. I'm sure they put fans behind the counter that sort of blows that smell out over the poor people that pass by. Bread comes in lots of different shapes and sizes, lots of different varieties. You have white bread, brown bread, multigrain, whole grain, rye bread, rice bread, corn bread, pita bread, crisp bread, naan bread, sourdough, focaccia, Lebanese bread, Turkish bread, matzos and muffins, Italian herb, French baguettes, Vienna bread, and good old Aussie damper, just to name a few. But when it all boils down, or bakes down, bread is bread. And it's pretty simple and uncomplicated. We used to have a bread machine at home for making our own bread, and we could do it. I could do it. Just get the ingredients, put it in, push the button, and you're done. That's it. Easy. And the wonderful thing is that bread, be it ever so humble and uncomplicated, provides the basics of a healthy diet. Alone and by itself, it provides essential elements needed for our basic nutrition, our basic necessity. Give us this day our daily bread. It's the basic need for substantial food. That's the way it's presented, and yet it's so uncomplicated. And friends, so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. For the daily necessities of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. The Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, he is the answer. What does Jesus say here in verse 35? He says, I am the bread of life. What's he saying in verse 48? I am that bread of life. What's he saying in verse 51? I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Notice that on each of those occasions, though the expression be slightly different, the Lord always speaks concerning himself. And it's not even so much that he's speaking of his words or his offices or his work. Rather, he speaks of himself. I am the bread of life. And what he is showing us here is that he is the one we are to focus on first and foremost, for he it is that can meet all the needs of our hearts. He is the center, he is the source of all. I think there's a tendency for all of us to get away from Jesus and look more to the streams rather than the fountainhead, to look more to the gifts rather than the giver. But the Apostle Paul had his focus right when he said, God forbid that I should glory save in anything else except Jesus Christ. In another place he said, for I determined not to know anything else among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And here we see that it is Jesus himself that he sets before the people as the bread of life. And again, he doesn't specifically mention any of his doctrines or his precepts or principles. He doesn't talk about ordinances. He doesn't talk about religion. He talks about himself. He says, I am the bread of life. Friend, do you need life? Do you need salvation? Then you need Christ. You don't need religion. You don't need tradition. You don't need a priest. You don't need the mass. You don't need Mary. You don't need the saints. You don't need candles or baptism. You don't need a church. You don't need a creed. You need Christ for eternal life. Do you need direction? Jesus says, I am the way. Do you need answers? Jesus says, I am the truth. Do you need meaning and purpose? Jesus says, I am the life. Do you need protection? Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Do you need illumination? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Do you need opportunity? Jesus says, I am the door. Do you need hope? Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Do you need a fruitful and productive life? Jesus says, I am the true vine. Do you need companionship? Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, it's not complicated. Now, you don't need all kinds of things. You don't need to be racing around in many different directions. What you do need is one thing, it's Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter what the need is that you have in your heart. Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the hiding place in a storm of wind. He is the covert from the tempest. He is the rivers of water in the time of drought. He is a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. For the polluted, he is purity. For the irritable, he is patience. For the faint, he is courage. For the weak, he is strength. For the ignorant, he is wisdom. For the lost and perishing, he is salvation and saviour. God knows all of our needs. He knows we have need of these things. And God has provided for our needs in a very, very uncomplicated way. From heaven, he sent his only begotten Son, who came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You could spend a lifetime searching all over the world and never finding any of those things that you think you need to satisfy the hunger of your heart. But all of that is found in Jesus Christ. The hymn writer put it this way, Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts, thou fount of life, thou light of men, from the best bliss that earth imparts, we turn unfilled to thee again. We taste thee, O thou living bread, and long to feed upon thee still. We drink of thee, the fountainhead, and thirst our souls from thee to fill. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life. It's simple and uncomplicated, and it's found in Christ. Thirdly, as we consider this matter further, we also note that bread is unique. In this respect, it has to be supplied. Fruit grows on trees, vegetables grow on plants, but bread has to be supplied. Unless someone grinds the grain and makes the flour and kneads the dough and bakes the loaf, then bread would never be available to hungry people. Similarly, the manna eaten by the Israelites in the wilderness had to be supplied. It wasn't found on trees or on plants. God had to send it. And there was no marketplace in the wilderness. And even if there had been marketplaces, then no trader could have sold that which they didn't possess. And so it is with the meeting of all of our deepest needs. All the markets of the world cannot supply what the hungry sinner's empty life requires. The bread of heaven has to be supplied by God himself. And that's why Paul in the book of Romans calls the gospel the good news of the grace of God. The gospel is good news because it comes to us from God's grace. It's given by God freely. It comes from God as a source. In the parable of the prodigal son, where was the bread enough and to spare where was that to be found? It was in the father's house. In the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, where did all that food come from? It came from the God who blessed the five small loaves. And for the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, where did the daily manna come from for all of those people? God gave it to them from heaven. And the meeting of our deepest needs, the forgiveness of all of our sin as an example, the satisfaction of our souls, where does that come from? From looking within and realizing the fullness of the fullness of human potential. Does it lie in humanism? Is that where the answer is? Is that where satisfaction comes from? Some people seem to think so. At high school graduations across America and Britain, the famous piece Invictus is often quoted. It goes like this: out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeoning of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll, I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul. Pretty heady stuff, very motivational, makes you want to get out there and get at it and try harder and fly higher, the sky's the limit, that sort of thing. If only we could realize our human potential. But the problem with the notion of human potential is the fact of human depravity. There's a law that works in all of our members. That is, when we would seek to do good, evil is present with us. And the good that we want to do, we can't do. And the bad that we don't want to do, we find ourselves doing. And that's why Paul cries out, "O wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this living death?" We're all sinners. We're all under the power of sin. So much for our unconquerable souls. Deliverance, salvation, life is only found in God, who has given us the Lord Jesus Christ, the living bread which came down from heaven. Let's move then to our fourth and final point. Bread is useless unless it's eaten. Bread cannot possibly sustain the body unless it is eaten. Suppose you go down to Baker's Delight, stand in front of the window all day, and just stare at the bread. I don't think it's going to help you much. There may literally be tons of bread within your reach, and yet you could literally perish from hunger if you didn't eat it. What good is bread if it's not eaten? We've heard tell of aid agencies and famine relief and their good work to get the food to the hungry people, usually bureaucratic reasons, often fails to get to the hungry people. And what's the good of that? And even if the food be manna from heaven, if it's not received into the body, then it's not food for you. And if Jesus Christ himself is not received by you, then he's not bread for you. When Jesus Christ announced to us that he is the bread from heaven and the bread of life, he does that so that we're not just admirers of him, but rather that we would partake of him and receive him. Just like that action where you have to go and you pick up that bread and partake and make it your own. You have to act upon it. You have to receive it for yourself. And so Jesus is teaching us. And if we do receive Jesus Christ and partake of him, then two miracles take place. Number one, God gives us life. He gives us life. Normally, bread is for the exclusive use of those who are living, not for those who are dead. If you were to go down to the morgue and bring out a body and prop it up and try to put food in the mouth, people would think that crazy and think you're mad. What kind of bread is that that could make dead person alive again? And yet such is the bread from heaven. Such is the Lord Jesus Christ who came down for us. He came down to give life to the world, to us who were dead in trespasses and sins. We read here that the Lord Jesus Christ is the living bread, the bread of life. Verse 33, the bread of God, that is from God as a source. Verse 35, the bread of life, that is, life is the result. And the bread that we get from the shop can sustain life, but cannot give life. It's not living bread. But when the Lord Jesus Christ, the living bread, is received by us, received by the lost sinner by faith, then we who are dead in our sins come to life in him. He says to the young man, remember in the Gospels, young man, arise. And the dead young man in the coffin, even as he was carried to his burial, sat up, was resurrected to life. He can take a little dead girl by the hand and say, Talitha kumi, which being interpreted as damsel, I say unto thee, arise. She sits up, she's alive. He calls to Lazarus, who by this time had been dead 4 days and stinking in the grave. He cries out, Lazarus, come forth. And he which was bound in grave clothes came forth. What a wonderful Christ this is, who is not only bread for the living, but is life for the dead, if you receive him tonight. Life to the dead. I mentioned about a wedding that took place yesterday in our family. My nephew Cameron was married to Camay yesterday. And in Cameron giving his speech, told how the Lord had changed his life, saved him and changed his life. Grew up in a Christian home. And as a young fellow, went through some very, very deep and troubling times, and so great was this oppression on him that he scarcely left his bedroom for about 7 years. Such was his torment with life. But there the Lord met him, and the Lord did a remarkable thing in his life. He is a new person. Totally new, totally transformed, able to function in life, got married yesterday. And he said that the Lord just did a remarkable thing in his life. He said there wasn't medication, there wasn't this, there wasn't that, there was Jesus. He said it's not that some of those things are not helpful to other people, but his testimony, the change in his life was that he got saved and he came to life from the dead. Jesus is able to give life. Secondly, Jesus sustains life. Miracle number two, he sustains life. It is of utmost importance to Christians who have spiritual life that we would feed on Jesus Christ. It's good to know the Bible. It's good to know this book. It's good to know everything that's revealed in it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's all profitable. But the daily household bread, the substantial meat upon which we must nourish our souls, if we are to grow strong from God and in his service, the bread for our souls is Christ himself. He alone says, "I am the bread of life." And you don't get that anywhere else other than Jesus Christ. We may be blessed to pick up some tasty morsels of revelation and God's truth from other sources, but the bread, the real food for our souls, is to be found in Christ and Christ alone. Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. You know the story, how that Moses and Elias there appeared with him, the law and the prophets there represented on either side of him. And we see Jesus, do we not, as we open the scriptures, in the midst of the law and the prophets, as we read the Old Testament, we see Christ there. But when Moses and Elias disappear, they saw no one except Jesus only. And that was not a loss, that was only gain. And we might be diving into the scriptures to find copper and silver, and yet when we find gold, when we see Christ, again, that's not a great loss. To see Christ in the scriptures, that's riches indeed. We might study all of the Bible for its history. We might take great enjoyment in its geography. Understanding about the promised land from Dan to Beersheba. But if we are wise, we will never wander far from Calvary. Have our eyes always upon the Saviour, for he is the bread of life. We've got a job in front of us, brethren. We've got a way to go. We need strength for the journey. We need our daily bread. And the Lord prepares a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. And he invites us to come and dine. The invitation is there to come and dine. The invitation is often refused. Jesus told a parable about people that refused the invitation. It was a great supper prepared, everything was ready, and the invitations went out. People made excuses. I've married a wife, I bought a cow, I've got to look at my land. And Jesus said, well, then go and invite others. If you don't want to come, if you reject the invitation, we'll find others who will accept. Now, at the beginning of our message, I told you about these poor German boys who would wake up in the middle of the night crying out in fear. But they slept soundly when they were given a loaf of bread. That was their assurance. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? If you do, then you have the bread of life. You have assurance. And you can go out of this life, and you don't need to go out in terror and fear, because you have the assurance of Christ. Will you receive him tonight? The bread's been provided. Table is set before you. Bread, there's bread enough and to spare. There's enough of Jesus to go around. The question is, will you receive him? Think about the Israelites. You know, they come at the tent in the morning and the manna's there on the ground. The option is that there's food, it's been provided. All I need to go is go and get it. And that's the way it is tonight. It's there before you. All you need to do is reach out and receive it by faith. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In John chapter 1, we read that Jesus came unto his own people, and his own people received him not. They rejected him. The bread of life was there, and they remained hungry. They perished of hunger. The verse goes on to say, but even though there were those that refused him, to those that will receive him, he gives the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then he will save you. He will give you life and he will satisfy you. No one else can save you, no one else can satisfy like Jesus Christ. And this is the good news that we have to share with you this evening. believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can do that even as we pray tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the good news about Jesus Christ. Thank you that you sent your Son to be the Savior of the world. Thank you that Jesus came and lived a sinless life and then died a substitutionary death upon the cross for us. He took the punishment for our sins so that we could be set free. Thank you for all that Jesus Christ is to us. And I thank you for the way that Jesus is described here in John chapter 6. Bread from heaven that gives life to the world. Gives life and sustains life. Jesus saves and Jesus satisfies. Lord, we just rejoice in the Saviour and the salvation that you've provided. And Lord, I do pray for anyone here tonight who has not yet accepted Jesus as their only Saviour, their only hope of salvation. Lord, I do pray that as the Word of God goes forth this evening, that the Spirit of God would take these words. And Lord, that light might come into darkened souls, that they would see and understand that their only hope is Jesus. And what a wonderful hope he is. Thank you for the assurance of salvation that we can have in Christ. I pray that you would work that work in someone's heart this evening. And for Christians who rejoice in the knowledge of our salvation, Lord, I pray that we would give us a hunger and an appetite for Christ. May we find other things not so tasty or satisfying as the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that our eyes would be more towards the Lord Jesus, less and less on things of the world and more on Christ. Thank you that we have the opportunity to do this this week. Thank you for the scriptures. Help us to open them and to fellowship with Christ. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.